Welcome to the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show, a real estate investment program. Listen and learn how to use real estate to build wealth and passive income streams for you and your family. We bring you experts every day to discuss and answer your questions on everything from single-family homes all the way up to 600-plus unit apartment complexes. And now, the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show.
Welcome to the show. My name is Al Gordon, and as always, we're working on your financial freedom. Hey, I'll be with you in just a minute. I'm finishing something up here that's very, very important. Almost got it. Got that autofill going with the computer. That's a good thing. Click the submit button. Okay, good. I am back with you. You're wondering what I was up to. Okay, that's a fair question. It's a very fair question. What I was doing was I was signing up for the upcoming case study that we have for next Thursday night. We're going to do a case study at Lifestyles Unlimited, and it's going to feature investors from the San Antonio market. Basically, what we're going to have is two of our members that are focused on single family investments. One of the members is going to be fairly new. They're going to be presenting a deal that is one of their first deals that got them involved with real estate investing and is getting them on the road to retirement. Then we're going to have, well, a little bit more of a seasoned investor, somebody that's got several deals under their belt, and they're going to present a deal that they've just completed. And it's going to be pretty cool, because what's going to happen is both of these members, when it's their turn, are going to walk us through real estate assets that they've acquired, and they're going to talk about everything you want to know about. They're going to talk about how did they find the deal? What did they do to acquire the deal? What did they do to get the property, you know, properly rehabilitated, if it needed to be rehabilitated? What did they do to find the quality tenants that they're putting in the property? What are they doing as far as the acquisition funds? I mean, did they use hard money? Did they go straight into conventional funding? If they use hard money, have they rolled out of the hard money into the conventional funding? And more importantly, they're going to open up their books and they're going to display to you the financial returns. And we do this at Lifestyles Unlimited because we believe it is one of the most significant learning experiences you can have when you can see everything laid out in front of you. You can walk through the entire process with our members, and at the end, they're going to show you the returns that they're receiving so that you get the big, complete picture of what's going on with the real estate investment. And then once those two members are done, and we thank them for you know, standing up in front of a group and, you know, going through the nerves or whatever they might have gone through. Some people get nervous, some people don't. It just depends on who you are, I guess. And we will focus on a multifamily member. In other words, a member who is focused on multifamily investments. And essentially what they're going to do, they're going to do the same thing. They're going to show you in the multifamily space a deal that they acquired, that they, you know, renovated if it was required, what they did to get the property up and running. And more importantly, they're going to show you the returns on that investment. They're going to show you how that property is performing. And like the single family case studies, you're going to get an opportunity to see how the multifamily case studies work. Now, if you've been paying attention to previous shows, you know that single family and multifamily are a little bit different. The biggest difference between the two, outside of the number of units involved, is how properties are evaluated. Or I should say, valuated, not evaluated, but how they're valued. In other words, what is it that creates their fair market price? And, you know, it's kind of interesting to know that there's actually two different processes out there. There is the single family process, which includes single family properties, it includes duplexes, it includes triplexes, it includes fourplexes. So basically anything, any individual property that contains between one and four units is considered single family property. Anything five units and bigger is considered multifamily property. So, you know, who made that decision? To be honest with you, I don't know. I haven't even bothered to look that up because it really never crossed my mind until right now. But the key thing is this. For single family properties, those properties are valued based on a competitive market analysis. In other words, an appraisal that is conducted on properties similar to the subject property that have sold in the last 6 to 9 months and are within, you know, a certain square footage of the particular property. So it's basically the same process you went through when you acquired your single family home that you live in, if you bought a home to live in, or if you sold that home that you live in. Now, if you're a resident, in other words, you're renting, the rents are valued a little bit differently. We can get into that. But what I want to talk about is that multifamily evaluation. Multifamily evaluation is based on an income approach. In other words, it looks at the income streams of the property. It takes away the associated expenses with that property, and that leaves you what's called net operating income. Now, certain expenses are considered as part of the expenses. Certain expenses are considered below the line. In other words, they are expenses that may or may not be there depending on how you buy the property. So things like management fees tend to be below that line because you could self-manage. So it isn't fair to evaluate a property based on the fact it's paying a management fee, because that is not necessarily a natural function of the investment itself. Now, things like, you know, paying the associated utilities that you are responsible for paying, things like any cost associated with that particular property is considered an expense. Any mortgages that you have against that property, that's below the line, because again, you don't necessarily have to have a mortgage to have a multifamily property. And I'll tell you what, when we come back, we'll get into a little bit more about this, how properties are evaluated, because I think you need to know, and it's very important to know, because I'll tell you what, there's a lot of disinformation out there. We'll be right back.
Del Wamsley explains how he found that speck of light that got him into the lifestyle.
I had a guy that used to come into the health club every day and work out for 4 hours a day, sit in the jacuzzi, swim, play racquetball, was happy, looked great, tan all the time. And one day I just asked him, what do you do for a living? And he said, Del, I own real estate.
Well, do you own real estate? Register for our live online free workshop and find out how you can get all the things you want out of life with passive income. Register at LifestylesUnlimitedWorkshop.com. Brought to you by Lifestyles Unlimited.
Welcome back to the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show. Now, let's get back to your map to financial freedom.
Welcome back to the show. So, I'm talking about valuation. We're going to discuss, you know, how do you determine what a property is worth? You know, there's confusion out there. Now, for those of you that are buying single family houses, the reality of the single family house is this: valuation is determined based on the fact that lenders are willing to loan at a particular percentage of the total value of the house based on an appraiser going out to the property, looking at the property, analyzing the property, and then analyzing comparable properties that have sold within a certain period of time, within a certain square footage of the subject property. And they come back and they say, you know, the property should be valued at this. Now, when you are selling your principal residence or maybe your investment property, you are going to want to know what it's worth. You're going to want to know what the market's going to bear. So do you run right out and get an appraisal right away? No, that's not how we do things. What we do is we do our own market analysis. Maybe we get with an acquaintance of ours that, you know, happens to be a licensed realtor and they've got access to their databases. Or, you know, there are websites out there that you can go to that you can find valuations on. Now, I would caution you that sometimes it's garbage in, garbage out when it comes to those websites. Sometimes they're spot on, sometimes they're not. So you just have to, you know, take information with a grain of salt. And the reason I know this is I was looking at, you know, what is the potential value of the home that currently live in. So I was comparing it to some of the properties that, you know, one of these websites out there had indicated had been sold. And when I looked at the number was very low. Well, when I dug into the number, what I found out was the number appeared to be right, but it was drawing data that was about 5 years old. So indicating to me that that was not a good sales comp, because anything that sold 5 years ago has no real bearing on today's market. So I quickly eliminated that particular comp, but I did find several other comps that, you know, were for properties within 500 square feet of my property, not 500 square feet as far as, you know, well, you know what I mean. I'm talking about properties that were no bigger or no smaller than 500 square feet, in total size. I also looked at properties that sold. In other words, the website I was looking at showed a sold price. In other words, this is the property that was recorded in the county courthouse for the transaction of the property. And of course, I can always go to the tax records to verify certain information. At least I can. I'm in Texas, so, you know, we can do certain things like that. So what I did was I came up with three comparable properties to my subject property, the house that I own. And that, you know, looking at some of the features, looking at the fact that, you know, I'm not doing a full-blown appraisal on this thing, okay? Now, I'm not doing that. I'm just trying to get an idea for what my property is worth in the current market. And the reason I'm looking at it is, well, I'll just be honest with you. I've got equity tied up in this property. The property has gone up over time. It is the property that I live in as my principal residence. But the problem with the property is this. When we moved in, it was a house that was well big enough for a family of four. You know, I had two kids still in high school. I still have two kids, by the way, not in high school. One currently graduated from college and one is currently in college. And then there's my wife and I. So, you know, for a family of four, and at that time we had three dogs and a cat. Now we're down to two dogs. We're looking at the possibility of selling this property and moving to a smaller property. The reason is this. My son, who has graduated from college, who is still living at home while, you know, we're helping him get his feet under him. In other words, he's working full time right now. So he's building that employment history, and his game plan is this. He is looking to buy a fourplex as one of his first income producing property purchases. And the strategy there is this. By purchasing a fourplex and by understanding the value of that fourplex and understanding what the potential is for that fourplex, it will have an impact on whether or not he can live as an owner occupant in one of the four units, essentially cost free. In other words, the theory is this. The rents that are produced by the other three units should be enough to cover all of the operating expenses for that property, to include any underlying mortgage. And as a result of that, he should be able to live in the fourth unit for very little, if any, money. So that's kind of the concept. My daughter is doing something different. Now, she's still in college, but she is elected to move out of the house. She wants to be closer to the school. And I understand that, you know, that my son did the commuting thing for 4 years and, you know, it got old. It got old for him, you know, and we live probably about 10 miles away from the college. But then when you start factoring in traffic and parking and the fact that, you know, he had to park someplace literally a mile away from where his first class was, you know, you've got to take into account all the time to walk and things like that, yada, yada, yada. Anyhow, so my daughter is electing to move into some type of apartment for the last year and a half that she has of college. So, you know, it's her decision. I'm supporting her in that. So what it means for us is that it's going to be my wife and I, our two dogs, and we got way more house than we really need. So as part of our strategy, we're looking at the ability to sell this particular property. We're not looking to sell it right away. We're not in a rush or anything like that. Potentially putting it on the market for next spring. You know, hopefully all this coronavirus stuff is out of the way. Hopefully, you know, the country is calmed down. We get back to normal. We get back to what, you know, right looks like. And, you know, it's an opportunity for us. It's an opportunity for me to pull a lot of equity out of this property without doing a refinance on the property, which I'm not necessarily interested in doing because I already have a great note on the property. And using the leftover money to invest in real estate. So, you know, it's one of those things where we've gotten to a point in our life where we're considering a change in our lifestyle. And while we consider that change in our lifestyle, we're also going to consider the money that is potentially available to us to do some more investing. And when we come back, we'll talk more about valuation after this.
Listening to the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show will change your life. We will teach you how to create wealth and passive income so you can be financially free. And now, back to your host.
Welcome back to the show. On today's show, we're talking about valuation. We're talking about, you know, how single family or multifamily properties are valued. And there's a big difference between the two. Single family properties, which include duplexes, triplexes, and fourplexes, are all valued based on what other like-kind properties have sold for in the general area within a certain period of time. That's what your appraiser uses to go in and determine value. Now, you don't necessarily go out and get an appraisal done when you want to determine value. Now, you absolutely could, and the reality is you potentially are going to have an appraisal conducted, because if anybody is going to buy one of your properties, they are probably going to, well, put financing on the property. Not everybody buys all cash. So you're eventually going to need an appraisal. But I don't agree with going out and getting an appraisal up front, because I do a very good job of doing the analysis myself. And if I feel like I'm having difficulty finding comparable sales for the subject property, I'll just pick up the phone to one of the realtors that I know very well that help me with my business model. And I will contact them and say, could you do me a favor? When you have a chance, will you put together a competitive market analysis for me? Because I'd like to know what the potential sales price for my property will be. And they do it very easily and send it over to me. So I really don't have a problem getting the information I need. The key thing is this: you want to make sure that you're pricing your property so that you can maximize the amount of money you make, while at the same time not overpricing your property so that it becomes the property nobody buys. Because, you know, even though in your mind your property is probably worth three or four times what the bank thinks it's worth, it's still only worth what the market will bear. And the market's only going to bear essentially what things have sold for. Now, their appraisers are given, you know, the ability to make adjustments based on the fact that prices are appreciating, whatever they do in their magic world. The key thing is this: if I have my principal residence and I believe that my principal residence is worth a certain price point, I have to go out and I need to qualify that price point. Otherwise, if I put it on the market too high, all I'm going to do is help every other property that is priced fairly and competitively sell first. It's just the way it works. If I price it too low, I'm going to get a ton of offers and I'll get a little bidding war going potentially, but I may not get the maximum value. So I believe firmly in establish what your price needs to be, price your property accordingly, get it on the market, get an offer or get offers on the property, and then make an informed decision based on what buyers are willing to offer you and pick the buyer for your property and get into contract. Once you do that, one of the things that will have to happen is the buyer's lender, unless they're coming in with all cash, the buyer's lender will request that you provide an appraisal to support the price that you're selling the property for. Happens the same way whether it's your principal residence or if it is your investment properties. Okay, just letting you know that. Now, multifamily is different because multifamily is considered a business income stream. In other words, I don't know what happened with duplexes, triplexes, and fourplexes and why they got lumped in with standard single family, but they did. And it's probably got something to do with the government, and it's probably got something to do with how they classify those properties. And I'm not going to get into that. But what I'm going to talk about is the multifamily space. Because multifamily, because it is based off of income streams, it is based off of the net operating income that a property can produce. You couple that with what's called a capitalization rate. And a capitalization rate is merely a rate of return that the market, per se, is expecting to receive as if they came into the property and paid all cash and didn't put any leverage on the property. So, although you have expenses in all types of real estate investment, and although you have income in all types of real estate investment, how those income streams and those expense costs are factored are mocks next. Now, for the single family side, you would potentially want to show that, you know, if you've got a single family property, let's say it's a fourplex, and it is producing very good cash flows, so that, you know, if the buyer were looking to acquire the property, they may do a cash flow analysis on the property, and they may base their decision to acquire the property on the fact that maybe it provides a certain amount of cash flow, or they're looking for a certain amount of return for the property. And then they're going to evaluate what the property can sell for, and they'll make an offer. And then you decide whether or not you go into business with that person and you transact the property and you create the sale. Now, on the multifamily side, the income streams and the expense costs are much more significant because they actually tie directly in to what the banks and those entities that will evaluate the property will say it's worth. It doesn't matter if it is the prettiest property on the market. If the income and the expenses, basically the net operating income, if the net operating income does not support the valuation that somebody is trying to request for a property, that property is not going to sell. You know, you can put a 6% cap rate on a piece of property and you can value it based on a 6% cap rate. And that's fine. If you have the proper net operating income, well, let's just give you an example. Let's say you have a property that has a $300,000 per year net operating income. And if you put a cap rate of, let's say, 6% on that property, it says that the property should essentially be worth $5 million. So what that means is for somebody looking to buy a property for $5 million, if they came in with all cash, they would want the income streams to be there present so that they could get a 6% return on our money. That's the way it works. Now, when we do it on the multifamily side for real estate investing, we look at it a little bit differently because we're going to put debt on that property. We're not going to take all cash and put it into the property because we're going to leverage. And the reason we leverage is because we find that we get better returns based on the amount of money we put into the deal by leveraging. So you can pay all cash, but we don't support that idea. We support the concept of having proper leverage on the property. So it also keeps your cash outlay a lot less. If you're working with $5 million and you go out to buy a property that's going to produce $300,000 worth of income streams for you, you're done. You've got one property doing that. And as you adjust the income streams upward, in other words, you adjust the net operating income upward, you're increasing the valuation of that property so that down the road, if you go to sell that property, you are selling the property at a higher rate. Now, if you mess things up and your net operating income goes down, you have essentially reduced the value of the property. I know it's a little bit confusing, but it's not that difficult difficult to absorb. And when we come back, I'll talk a little bit more about valuation and what's going on in the marketplace. We'll be back after this.
One of the things I'd like to get across is that your whole life you wanted to make a change, right? But you've never had the time? This might be it, because we have online education that you can get involved in.
We're now going to bring the free workshop to the entire country and really the world. Anybody who is interested can participate in that. We're going to live stream that free workshop and have people online with you on the live stream, talking with you, answering questions, interacting. You're really going to get a great feel for the Lifestyles community from this. And you can register for that. So if you want to find out about us, this is a great way to take a look at us and what we do.
Lifestyles Unlimited has been helping people succeed since 1990. Join us for our free online real estate workshop and learn the 7 principles we teach to run our businesses and provide for our families. Register at LifestylesUnlimitedWorkshop.com. That's LifestylesUnlimitedWorkshop.com.
Welcome back to the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show. It's time to turn up the volume and fine-tune your passive income plan so you can create the lifestyle you've always wanted.
So I mentioned in the previous segment that my son is currently looking for his first investment property that he will own himself. Now, he's already invested in some multifamily deals, so he's got those things going for him. And, you know, valuation on those particular properties is based off of a net operating income approach. But because he's looking for fourplexes, what we're looking for is something that is priced appropriately. Now, we're going to take into account the income streams that those properties provide, because there is, you know, there's a factor in there which is going to impact his ability to either have the property completely pay for itself or only partially pay for itself. So, you know, the rental streams within that fourplex itself are important. Now, the other thing he's got to take into consideration is that he has to owner occupy, because the strategy is this: he will use FHA funding so that he can get a loan on the property valued at 96.5% of the value. See, FHA will allow you to put 3.5% down. So for the types of properties that we're looking at, you know, he's estimating he's going to be probably in about the $450,000 price range. I mean, we've seen stuff in the 350 range, we've seen stuff in the 450 range, and we've seen stuff in the 550 range. Now, the kicker is this: as we look through these properties and evaluate them, we came across a clumping of properties. In other words, there's properties that are available for sale where they are legitimate fourplexes. We know they're legitimate fourplexes because we did our homework, because we looked at the tax records, and the tax records returned that it is a, you know, the property we're looking at is a 4-unit complex. But the thing is this: when we look at some of the different ways people are marketing these fourplexes, they're trying to market the fourplexes like they're multifamily. And the danger there is this: if a fourplex is doing what a fourplex is supposed to do as far as generating rents, if you use an income approach, it's going to make the property look like it's worth a lot more than what the market will bear. And that's what we're finding with a lot of these properties that we're taking a look at, is that people are incorrectly evaluating their properties, meaning they're using an income approach to something that should be aligned with a competitive market analysis. Because like I told you earlier in the show, single family through fourplex, they're all evaluated for value the same way. Anything 5 units and above, all evaluated the same way. So what you have here is, well, in my opinion, uneducated investors that are out there trying to market a property and market incorrectly. And, you know, to the uneducated person, it can create problems, because you could get into a transaction
with this particular person and find out that your lender will require you to put an appraisal on the property. And, you know, I'll just give you an example of one of the deals that we looked at. Property is valued at $550,000. Nice property. I mean, it reads real well. Now, we haven't gone to see the property. We don't do that until we actually get to the point where we're interested in making an offer on a property. We do the back of the napkin first. We know the area where it's at, decent area. So we did our own market analysis. Yeah, I called up one of my realtors and I said, do me a favor. Here's a piece of property that's for sale. It's not on the multiple listing service. It's out there on a different website. Can you run the comps for me? And he did. And about 30 minutes later, we got a CMA packet on this particular property. And when we looked at it, it told us what we thought was correct, that properties in that area, although they're nice, they're considered newer, they're not selling for much more than $470,000. So the problem is this: if we made an offer on that property that was on the market for $550,000, we would not be able to pay more than what the market analysis is indicating, because if we did, our lender's going to come back to us and say this: all right, bottom line is this, if the property doesn't transact for that lower appraised value, which is about what it would be, probably about 450 to 470, you can come to the table with the difference. They'll still loan you the money, but you come to the difference with the rest of the cash. So in this case, it'd be an extra $80,000 to $100,000. Well, because of that, we have eliminated that property from our contention, because the first thing we don't want to do is we don't want to get into a war with somebody trying to sell a piece of property that is incorrectly priced. Second of all, we don't want to put ourselves in a situation where we're making what's considered a lowball offer on a property, because obviously that person thinks it's worth a lot more than the market will bear. So we're not willing to do that. Now, if the property had happened to have been a 5-unit property and they were marketing it at a 6% cap rate, then we'd be in a completely different league. We'd be looking at it from a completely different lens. But because the FHA does not offer people like you and me or my son the opportunity to buy a duplex, triplex, or fourplex, which some of you think are multifamily, with a 3.5% down payment, the multifamily stuff is off the table for him right now because he doesn't have that type of capital available to him. He has the capital necessary to get into a good fourplex with 3.5% down and some cash in reserve for reserves and the things that he and his lender have talked about. Roughly, he's looking at needing about anywhere from $20,000 to $25,000, depending on the deal he ultimately does. And what we're looking at, because we're educated, because we're informed, because we reach out to, you know, smart people on our team that understand this marketplace, to include our Lifestyles Unlimited mentors, we know that we're looking at a property anywhere from probably $350,000 to $450,000. So that's going to be the price range that we're going to be in. And we know that there are fourplexes that, you know, are valued at those different rates depending on the type of area they're in. It's good news on the horizon, because we found about a dozen property so far that we haven't eliminated that we're going to sit down later on this afternoon and we're going to do the back of the napkin on those and kind of analyze them and then make a determination as to if we can get it narrowed down to, like, maybe, you know, 2, 3, or 4 that we actually really want to go gangbusters on, and maybe, you know, get a little bit more information, get a little bit more into the details on the property. But the key thing is this: regardless, now I'm going to say something that's really going to, it's going to make you go, what is he talking about now? Regardless of valuation of the property, you should be managing your investment properties like they're a business. So even though you can't use the income model as price justification for your single family, your duplex, triplexes, and fourplexes, you should still be running them along an income model, because you have to understand the income that's being produced from that particular property. And even though the cap rates aren't used to determine the valuation, you need to know where you are in the cash flow process. So the key things are this: you're going to have rental income. You potentially are going to have economic vacancy. That's when, you know, you have a vacancy in a property for a certain period of time. Maybe you have a tenant transitioning to another tenant. Maybe you had somebody move out, but then the next person isn't going to move in for 15 days. So you have 15 days where you have economic vacancy. Basically, you take that economic vacancy out and it gives you a net rental income. And then you subtract any other type of income that you get. Now, in single family, you really shouldn't be getting any other forms of income. But in multifamily, maybe you get income from laundry, maybe you get income from rubs, maybe you get income from other expense or other income. So you take that total income and then you subtract all of the expenses associated with running that property. And expenses, operating expenses, are things like taxes. Maybe you pay salaries and personnel expenses. Maybe you've got some maintenance and repair costs. Maybe you've got management fees. Maybe you've got contract services, utilities, administrative fees, insurance, marketing, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Whatever your expenses are, what's left over is your cash flow. What's really neat is on the multifamily side, you can use that cap rate to determine value. But at the end of the day, when I sit back and I think about what we're going to do for investing going forward this week, we're going to focus on single family properties that just happen to be fourplexes. We're going to do the analysis like they're a multifamily community because we have to understand how the money is flowing. And then we will move forward towards getting my son his first fourplex. It's a pretty exciting experience. Hey, I hope it didn't bore you too much today. I know this, you know, we can get into some of the nitty-gritty of real estate stuff you need to know. And I will tell you, if a lot of this just kind of glazed over your head, you really need to look at getting an informed and qualified real estate investor education. And that's what we do at Lifestyles Unlimited. So check us out at lifestylesunlimited.com.
Thank you for listening to the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show. Ready for more of the map? Visit lifestylesunlimited.com. Explore our videos and articles. Click on the radio tab to access past show podcasts. View the radio show schedule and listen to our best of radio shows. Want to continue the conversation? Follow Lifestyles Unlimited on Facebook today. Join us next time. And until then, remember, it's not the money, it's the lifestyle.
The information and opinions you hear on the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show are those of the host, guests, and callers and do not necessarily reflect the opinions of this station, its affiliates, its management, or advertisers. The Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show is for entertainment purposes only. Please consult a professional regarding your personal investment needs. Nothing presented on the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show constitutes an endorsement, recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or security.